You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I've got way too many microphones over here, so sorry, Graham. I'm gonna move these. This is a bad idea. This is gonna go all over the shop. But you guys can't see from where you're sat, but the media team this morning have given me a game plan. On the floor, they've put masking tape that says, "No go line. Jason, stay here. No go line." So I've got an X that marks a spot just here. So whilst I try and get used to this very strict boundary, I need to sort myself out here. What I'm just going to ask you to do is speaking to someone who is not part, I'm already out of the line, speaking to someone who is not part of the group that you came with this morning to church, can you just ask them, what were you hoping for this morning? What were you hoping for this morning? Off you go. Beautiful. So to try and stick to the plan, I've got myself a chair to discourage me from moving. We'll see how long this works. So who wants to shout out some of the answers that they got? Not from them, but from the person they spoke to. Who wants to shout out what their person was expecting this morning? A lion. I'm sorry. Maybe this was a lion for you. Those of you with young kids, this probably was a lion on a Sunday. For the children not to scream. The hope was the children didn't scream. What else have we got? Sorry, Kosta? Good praise and worship. We've got that already. Beautiful job. What else have we got? Enlightenment. Wonderful. What else? Refreshed. Amazing. Go on. Sorry? A good time. Fellowship. Revelation. Amazing. I had a plan this morning and it's already gone to pot. If you guys have got a Bible, do you want to open up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I've pre-prepped the media team, not with scriptures, but just with how quick are you at getting Bible references. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Who's the first one there? So Tim, who's asked me to talk with you this morning, gave me kind of a couple of ideas. He asked, Jason, is there anything on your mind? I said, yeah, I've got a few ideas. And then Tim was like, would you mind preaching on spiritual gifts? So I did what any seasoned preacher would do. And I found the chapter in the Bible that says spiritual gifts. Well, hey, why make a job hard for yourself, right? So let's we're going to start verse 1 and we'll see where we get to. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. If you've got a biro or a pen or a pencil, just circle around mute idols, mute idols. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each, circle the word each. don't write in your Bible. Next time we preach, it'll be about writing in Bible. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Highlight common good. What does yours say? For the profit of all. I like the word profit. That's a good one. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So Holy Spirit, as we just open up these words today, we just say, measure our hearts according to your truth. Let our experience not cloud what you want to say this morning. God, I pray that I'm transparent, that I don't shine through, but your truth, Jesus, is what is prevalent in this place. I ask that your Holy Spirit just meet with each person who's listening in to this, who's listening in to your Spirit. I pray they hear your voice, your words. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So, as we kick off, just because a lot of your faces are really new, that's really encouraging. So, I just want to do a quick check as I look around. Who's been in this church for 10 years or more? Who's been in the church for 10 years or more? Wonderful. Who's been in this church 5 years or more? Between 5 and 10. Let's go for that one. Brilliant. 2 years. Who's joined in the last 2 years? Beautiful. Who's been a part of this church for the past year, or who's joined in the past year? Amazing. Brilliant. Beautiful. Great. Quite a few hands. Amazing. So the name of this church is emblazoned on the front as you come in, yeah? What's it called? Christian Life Church. Glad you guys know where you are. Football stadium is that way, courtyard a bit further down. But if you're here, it's not by accident. God's planned it, he's purposed it. So you're here for this reason. Two words that we use to describe this church are evangelical and charismatic. And those are very fancy words that basically mean the following. We are an evangelical church. That means that this church stands on the belief in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is a man who came to this world as God, who died because of the sin and the mess that we make as humanity, and took our place because our mess isn't right with God. So someone who's never made a mess had to take our mess in our place. So he took our problems, our anxiety, our stress, our suffering, our anger, our frustration. He took our sin, the weight of all of that, and he took it to a cross, and he killed it. Jesus Christ killed the suffering and the potential for suffering on the cross. And it would be great, even if it just stopped there, but it doesn't, because the good news is the fancy word evangelion, that 3 days later, Jesus Christ, having died and took our sins with him, then rose again and resurrected. Jesus killed death. That means that because he's killed death, that you have absolutely nothing to fear in your life. Why? Because if death is dead, if your sins have been paid for, there is no anger, lust, frustration, depression, anxiety, stress, pain, or illness that can control your life and take over control of you. Amen? Amen. And that is good news. An evangelical church is a church that stands on the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. That means that anyone who believes in him, anyone who calls Jesus Christ as Lord, who puts him as king, who puts him as the highest thing in their lives, who believes in what we've just said there, that they will, as we heard this little girl say earlier, that they shall not perish, but they will have eternal life. And that is good news worth talking about. Yeah? As an evangelical church, we believe that there is nothing better than that truth. There's nothing better than that. A good feeling isn't better than that. A good marriage isn't better than that. A good family isn't better than that. Success, a job, isn't better than that. The truth that Jesus Christ is King over everything is the greatest truth there is. Your life is not about you. Isn't that a relief? Your life is not about you. The heavens decry the glory of God. All creation breathes the glory of God. You are part of creation. You are part of a bigger story that Jesus Christ is King. Your life gives glory to Jesus, who is now enthroned on high at the right hand of God. And that gives us some perspective, right? That gives us some perspective. That no matter how rubbish things might seem down here, how rubbish yesterday might have been, how rough your marriage has been for the past couple of years, how difficult it's been to get that job, how many times you've had the same argument with your kids, the diagnosis that you're waiting for, the illness that still hasn't been removed, any of those things, all of those things come second and underneath the feet of Jesus Christ. This is why in Philippians it tells us that God gives us a peace beyond understanding, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that people who are still living the same life, going through the same things, going through the same emotions, circumstances, situations as everybody else on this earth, can still go through it with the knowledge of a higher and greater purpose. That defies logic. Because logic was created by God who transcends all logic and reason. That's why it's completely reasonable to believe in a God who works out the unreasonable. Yeah? We believe in a God that transcends our limitations, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. Yeah? So when we come to him and just say, you know, God, have your way with this. Have your way in my life. And we're kind of hoping that he makes our life better. He improves it somehow. I want that success. I want that job. I want that happy life. I want that good feeling. We ask him for those things, and because in our heads, that makes sense. That's good, right? I want those things. No one's going to say that's a bad thing. But God says, that's a good thing, but it's not my thing. That's not the thing I have for you. Because your life isn't going to be used just for the good thing. It's going to be used for the glory of God. There's a story in the Bible. I think it's John chapter 6, maybe John chapter 9. There's a blind man. And the disciples were kind of warming up with kind of praying for healing and the supernatural. This blind man comes to Jesus. And the disciples say, Jesus, why is this man blind? What's he done? Was it him or his parents who have sinned? Because we love to play the blame game, right? Whose fault is this? Is it me? Is it yours? Is it my parents? It's always your parents, by the way. It's always your parents. It's always the boss. Yeah. And Jesus says, no. It's not to do with sin. It's not to do with sin. This man is blind because he's going to be giving glory to God. Through him, people will come to see God. And at that point, the disciples are like, you what? How, like, I thought you healed people, Jesus. I thought people, like, were made better. I thought getting rid of sin just made everyone right. He's like, yeah, but this illness, this limitation, this circumstance isn't just for him to feel good. It's for him to give glory to God. So if you're going through a situation right now where you are struggling to see what the purpose is in today, know that there is a purpose and a promise that is being fulfilled for your tomorrow. Amen? That your life is here to give glory to God. And no matter what the outcome of this is, the final word is always God's word, that you will spend an eternity with him. We're an evangelical church. That's what we stand on. And that's good news. And it's worth telling people about it. Another word that I mentioned earlier is the word charismatic. What's the word? Now, I don't know your story of church. I don't know your story with God. I don't know your story with the spiritual. But The word charismatic is literally kind of translated from the word charisma or charis. Is it, do you have any charises in the room today? Yeah, maybe. Just gone out. So the word charis means grace. And of course, this good news that we've heard about doesn't come because I've earned anything with Jesus. It's because he chooses to reveal himself to me. And he chooses to give us eternal life when I believe in him. And that step of belief is what opens and unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit and grace in your life. It's belief. John chapter 6. Let's do this one. John chapter 6. Can't remember the verse. We'll get there. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John, yeah. John chapter 6. Because when you guys come to church, you know you're coming to work, right? You don't believe me, do you? John chapter 6. Better make sure I'm getting the right verse here. I've left the chair. Oh, no. Oh, no. John chapter 6, verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 29. I want it on the board, on the projector if we can. So, John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. That makes a bit more sense. So it says, ready? So, verse 28. Then they, the disciples, asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Pause. Don't move just yet. So, the question is, when we hear about all this good news, what do I need to do to receive all this good stuff, Jason? What do I need Jesus to get this good stuff? That's what these disciples are asking. We live in a culture where you have to work, 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 work to get anything. Very little in this life comes for free. Nothing in this life comes for free. And if it does come for free, the question isn't, "Oh, wow, that's nice." It's who's paid for it. So these disciples with the same culture of what do I need to work to get this, Jesus responds with this. Next verse. Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." The work of God is to believe. At which point, a few of you might think, "So how do I believe harder? How do I force it out? How do I force that belief in my life?" And so we ask God, "God, help my unbelief." When we come to church, our expectation is maybe less than its best, or we come expecting normality, we come expecting just a good time, we come expecting just to hang out with some friends, we come just to expect to sing some songs and to be entertained, maybe. That our belief in what God can do in this time and in this space, instead of being here, probably on a week-by-week basis, is a bit more down here. Now, the work of God is to believe in him who he sent, which is Jesus. The work on a Sunday morning, at the very least, is to believe in Jesus Christ and that he will do what he said he will do. Which means that when we come into this space, and again, at the very least, when we come into this space, when we come into this time, the work that we have to do is, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that God has sent you. I believe that you are all powerful. I believe that you are almighty. I believe that you are mighty to save. And with an outstretched arm, you will bring salvation in this room. Not just salvation once and for all, but continued salvation from the issues and situations and problems in our lives." Amen. So when we wake up in the morning, your job doesn't start at 9 o'clock when you clock in. Your first work is belief in Jesus Christ. That he is the anchor in your day, no matter what winds and tempests come around. that he is the power that gives you the energy to walk through the day, knowing that there is nothing that can come against you. No scheme of man, no plan of the evil one, no fiery arrows can ever hit you when you believe in Jesus Christ. We believe what Jesus says. We believe in what Jesus did. So going back to this word charismatic, this grace, this gift of God through belief opens the door, not just to an eternal life, it's not just a one-way street, but it also opens the door for God to work powerfully in your life. The word Holy Spirit, one of the words used for it in the Bible is the word dunamis. What's the word? Of course, from that word we get the word dynamite. And dynamite sounds like an explosion, right? Now, when was the last time you came to church expecting an explosion? Yeah. When was the last time you came to church expecting an explosion? Expecting the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life. The work is to believe in Jesus. The work is to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus has sent. Now, is that belief limited to anyone or any particular group of people? No. Anyone can call upon the name of Jesus. Anyone can have that belief in God as it's revealed to them. There is no demarcation. There is no distinguishing between kind of belief elites and the belief lower classes. It's just as belief. We believe in Jesus. But the difficulty comes of when we believe. Do we continue to believe when life is tough? Do we continue to believe when things just keep on going the way they are? When our belief falters, how do we come back? Do we come back stronger? Or do we allow ourselves to get into patterns and habits of low expectation and low aspiration for the life that Jesus has called us into? Many of you guys in this room have come to a saving faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And when that happened, the day that happened, I have no doubt that there was an excitement, an explosion in your heart. That there was a change. As clear as black to white, as clear as 2D to 3D, as clear as anything else. The Bible says you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, which means you transferred. You can't go back. That belief is a saving belief that opens the door into this kingdom life, this life where Jesus is king. So, heading back to 1 Corinthians 12, it says, concerning spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be uninformed, and he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So that means if you're here today and you accept that Jesus Christ is King of your life, how have you done that? How have you done that? By the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. That's not hype. You can say the words, Jesus Christ is Lord. You can write it on a book and someone will say it out loud. But to say it and mean it, to have that transformation of heart, of character, of life, that can only be done by the Holy Spirit. So when that happens, we should have no doubt then in our position and status before Jesus. You are saved once and forever. Fancy word for this, you might have heard, is justified. What's the word? Justified. Your justified status before Jesus cannot be undone by anyone or anything. No matter how low your life might feel, no matter how grave your sin might be, you are saved, protected, possessed by Jesus Christ when you call him Jesus, when you call him Lord, when you call him Savior. That's why it's so important that belief is the hard work. Because that's what gives us confidence to go through our day. But then if we say that by the Holy Spirit, that then means that the Holy Spirit, the very presence of Jesus Christ, is now in our lives. It's a two-way door, not just for us into eternity, but from Jesus, who sat at the right hand of God, in heaven, on the throne, king over everything, for him to now give us the Spirit and his presence into our lives. So, next question. Who has this Holy Spirit? We do. That's good. We do. If you call Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit at work in you. And that's a good thing, because that is what you need. Because life gets pretty messy without it. But also, the moment that you call Jesus Christ as your king, you enter into his kingdom. And if you're now subjects of a king, you're not just subjects where you're slaves and you're chained and you are doing the will and whim of whatever dictator we come under. No, the Bible says that we are ambassadors. The Bible says that we have authority and we have power. How many of you wake up each morning knowing that you have authority and power? How many of you wake up expecting that someone else is going to have more control over your life than you do? Or someone else will have more control over your life than anything else? When you come under the authority of a king, you're giving him that authority. He has that authority to dictate where your life goes and what you do. So the moment that we call Jesus Christ Lord, the moment that the door enters for us into eternal life, and the moment that happens, we get the power of the Holy Spirit resting in us. The Bible uses the word indwelling Holy Spirit. That then gives us a position and a power to work in a place and amongst a people. You have a power, sorry, you have a position and a power to work in a place and among the people. You have a mandate, you have a purpose to now go with the same power that Jesus had when he resurrected 3 days after taking your sin and putting death to death. You have that same power working in you from the moment you accept him. That's not a gradual, oh, I got saved today, and now in a few years' time I might get the Holy Spirit. No. The moment you see Jesus, the moment he reveals yourself to himself to you, you see, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, by giving you power, by giving you authority, enables each person to work in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? A lot of blank faces. You have power in you. You have the very power of the risen king, the resurrected king, who's over dominion over everything, who keeps the world spinning, whose universe is growing, expanding, and doing its thing because of his very word. You have that power working within you. You have a supernatural ability to see what he is doing in this place. You now have the completely reasonable, rational mandate to go and do the completely irrational and unreasonable. We believe in a God who defies the natural, right? And he's not doing that just because he's God. Here's the thing. Jesus did all the miracles he did. Why? Not because he was Jesus, but because he had the Holy Spirit. And those of you who here this morning who believe in Jesus Christ, you have the. So if Jesus did these miracles by the Holy Spirit, that means we can do these miracles by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I'm not giving you some kind of like, I'm not doing some kind of origami with this. I'm just giving you what this is saying. As an evangelical church, in the Christian life, we believe we stand on this word, the truth of God. We don't stand on our experience. We don't stand on our emotion. We don't stand on our circumstance and situation. We don't stand on our own understanding. But we put our trust and our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ. So now we get to talk about spiritual gifts. So that was the preach before the preach, guys. That was the preach before the preach. Tim's looking at his watch thinking, oh no, Jason. So therefore, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That means that when the Spirit is indwelling in your life, that you have a power that is not a cut and paste version of everybody else's power, but it is a unique move in your life that only you carry. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good or for the profit of all. Now, here's the thing. This power that's given to you is not for you to live a good life, just. This power that is given to you is not just to feel good. This power that is given to you is not just for you to be successful. This power that is given to you is for you to pass on. It's for you to use. It's for you to utilize. It's for you to grow, mature, develop, practice. These are the words that the Bible uses. This is what you do with the work of the Spirit in your life. Now, when we asked a question a few minutes ago, what's your expectation? What was your hope this morning? My hope is to see the church working in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're a charismatic church. Charisma. Giftings. Charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, the way that the Holy Spirit works his way out, works his power out in each single person here. That means that the power that Tim has is different to the power that Henry has. This means that the power that Tracy has is different to the power that Dave has. This means that if Tim's not here, what a wave, all sinking. No, it's not that bad. If Tim's not here, then I'm missing something. I'm missing what he brings. If Tracy's not here, I'm missing what she brings. Why? Because Tracy doesn't have the same power as what Tim has. If Costa's not here, I'm missing out. You're missing out. Not because he's warming up that seat. Not because he's got good looks and a good sense of fashion. But you're missing out because he houses a different manifestation of the Spirit than you. That means if you ever feel invaluable, inferior, less than, just remember that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit that is within you. And no one else has that same power. Amen? For the common good. So that doesn't mean that you just rock up on a Sunday and let everyone else do their thing. Oh, look at Ches when she was leading those kids. Oh, she's got such a gifting. Wow, I wish I had that. No, you don't. No, you don't. I wish, God, that I could find my gifting in you. I wish, God, that I could see the plan and purpose you have for my life. Help me, God. Help me, God, to be the blessing that you have called me to be in this church, in this world, to expand your kingdom. Yes? Comparison is the greatest thief of joy in your life. We were never meant to compare ourselves to other Christians. So Satan took what was one of the greatest gifts, which is the Holy Spirit and the charismata, the gift of grace in your life. He has taken it and said, what if you looked more like that person? What if your gifting was more like theirs? You haven't got enough talent to do what they do. You could never be that good. And so instead, what happens is that we leave the church stuff, the Christian stuff, to the people who are stood up here on the platform. And at which point, 95% of the church's power has been eradicated. And in this particular moment right now, probably about 99% of the church's power is there. Yeah? You're working right now. Your work is to believe in Jesus. Whoever's preaching up here, that's great. Your job right now is to be asking the Spirit, what does this mean for me? What am I going to do with this? What seed is being planted right now, God, that tomorrow is going to bear fruit? What power is being released? There are some churches, not normally charismatic churches, but there are some churches that believe that preaching is the chief means of grace in the church. That's the power that they place on it. Now, that's great, but we have work to do. You have work to do. What's being said and what does it mean? Does this match up with the Bible? Please, please come to church with the Bible. Not just because I'm old school, but because when I'm preaching, I really hope that there are people who are listening in and just checking in. Is this right? Is what he's saying right? Please don't take what I say as gospel. I'm hoping it is. I've done some research. I think it is. But it might not be. Yeah? We have to have a certain trust in each other and confidence in each other that we are all coming to these times ready, prepared to see what the Holy Spirit is going to do through each other. Ah, oh, but Jason, you're the one with the mic. It's easy for you to say that. We've got coffee time coming up in a few minutes, guys. Pray, prophesy, heal, encourage, exhort, bless, serve, administrate. You can admin a load of stuff. You have a gifting. I forgot what time I started. 11. Okay. So, just going to do one more verse, and we're going to come to a time where you guys get to do some work. Yeah, that's going to be exciting because that's your bit. I've done my bit. Can we go to Luke chapter 3? Verses 16 and 17. Yeah, let's go with that one. So Luke 3:16, not the John 3:16 we did earlier. I'll read this one. So John answered them all, a bunch of disciples who were looking for something greater. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Next bit. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Go back to verse 16. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible calls that a baptism by water. And many of you guys would have been baptized in this pool just here. That baptism represents a cleansing, a removal of the old you from the new you. There is a transferable change from death into life when you see Jesus for the first time. You then make a public confession of that through baptism of water. But then, there's a second baptism. And this second baptism isn't just one that's done dunk in and out. This second baptism is with the Holy Spirit and fire. As a charismatic church, we believe that although you get, there's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit the moment that you see Jesus Christ, there is a moment in your life when you sense the power so tangibly on you and through you that it changes you. That happened to me when I was about 7 years old, right just here. I was 7 years old. I asked a couple of teenagers to pray for me, and I hit the deck hard. I think I was down for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, laughing uncontrollably. Why? Because the power of the Spirit moves in irrational and unreasonable ways because it reminds us of a God who is illogical, unreasonable. He's irrational. He will move in the way he chooses to move. He doesn't fit to our confinements. Sorry, guys, just thinking of this again. He moves in the way he wants to move, and he will force you out of your comfort zone to push you into new places, to expand his kingdom, not just in your life, but to enable you to do it in the life and lives of other people. And the next one, and here's where we're going to be finishing off, this next verse. None of you guys, I'm guessing, use a winnowing fork. None of you guys probably have a threshing floor, maybe a couple of you do. But a winnowing fork, the picture is that when you get baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire, you're entering into a life of fire, a life of holiness, a life of change. That although Jesus has saved you from death, there is still work to be done in believing in him. There is still work to be done against the effects of sin in your life. There is still work to be done by bringing yourself to holiness, cleansing yourselves, it tells us in 1 Timothy. And this picture is Jesus going through your body like a haystack, picking out the hay, picking out the wheat and the chaff. He's going to come through your life and pick out all the things that should not be there. With a winnowing fork, he'll go in, throw it up in the air, all the wheat falls, the chaff blows away. And the chaff will burn. He will burn up the chaff in your life with unquenchable fire. There is no limit that Jesus will not remove from you because he values you and the work you can do for his kingdom more than any comfort that you may have. Yes? There are things in your life that you're holding on to that are keeping you back from fulfilling everything that he has for you. They might be good things, but they're not God's thing for you. To some people, they might be wheat, but for you, they're chaff. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a moment, is a time when Jesus comes, puts in that winnowing fork, throws it all up, and let's see what happens. What's going to get burnt away? This is a moment of holiness. This is a moment of cleansing, of purification. This is a moment of realizing there's stuff in your life that needs to go away to make more space for Jesus in your life. In a moment, I'm going to ask for people to come to the front and to receive prayer. Receive prayer for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Receive prayer to receive the power of the Holy Spirit afresh. To receive prayer for change in your expectation. To receive prayer for an increase in our belief. To do the work that the Father's called us to do. And again, I don't know what your background is. I don't know if you've been through these kind of things before. If you've prayed time and time and time and time and time and time again for Jesus to come and move in your life and you've not seen it, you've not heard it. But that shouldn't dictate our expectation when we come to these moments. I don't know when the last time was when you felt excited, when there was an explosion in your heart at the thought of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. But I know the Bible tells us that it's not by word, it's not by might, but it's by my power. My Spirit, says the Lord. There's nothing else we can do. We hold up our hands and say, Jesus, have your way. We don't need any of this fancy schmoozy stuff. What you need is a heart sold out for Jesus. So we're going to cut to the chase. And if you right now want prayer, if you want prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want prayer to increase your belief, if you want prayer to increase your expectation, then I pray come to the front. Come to the front. We're going